Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, we'll be looking at how the St. Cloud State University Theater Department is producing a rather innovative play about a topic which can often be misunderstood and difficult to talk about. The play is called Radiant Vermin, and it opens Wednesday, October 16th, and runs through Sunday, October 20th, at the Performing Arts Center Arena Stage. So in the studio today, we've got a good part of the cast and crew, as well as the director, theater department faculty member, Carol Cooley, and then also joining the discussion, it's community engagement coordinator, Maddie Zinken, from Pathways for Youth in St. Cloud. And we'll be discussing how theater is the perfect environment for exploring these complex concepts in a way which makes a little easier for the general public to understand. So how about we start off today and we'll just go right around the room and everyone can introduce themselves and, you know, say what they do in the play as well as how did you get involved?
I'm Genesis Knobloch and I'm playing Jill. I've pretty much done theater my whole entire life, and last year I took a gap year and I was working full-time and I wasn't able to do theater with the hours I was working. And after a while I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, community, it doesn't matter, you know, where I'm doing theater, I just have to be doing something with it because it, you know, it's my passion, kind of the love of my life. So yeah, I just came here and saw that there were auditions and I was like, well, that's what we're doing.
Nice. Okay, next up.
Yeah. Oh. Hi, I'm Hannah, and I'm the stage manager for Radiant Vermin. The reason I did this is, one, because I love stage managing, and two, it's part of my major, so, you know, the more experience I can get, the better. And, I mean, why not? I got to work with Carol, so that's great.
Right on. Okay, next.
My name's Beck Lamont. I'm playing two parts in this play. I play a character named Miss D, and I also play Kay. The reason that I wanted to work on this play is actually because of Carol Cooley, the director. I'm taking a gap year right now, not going to school or anything. I'm working full-time, and like Genesis said, theater is my absolute passion, so... And I got involved because of Carol Cooley. She's the best.
My name's Ash Bassett. I am the assistant stage manager. I'm involved because, well, I've been doing theater since middle school. For the most part, though, I've been either on the acting side of things or, like, helping, like, assistant directing or student directing. So it was really interesting to see this new side to theater. I got to see all the behind the scenes, and I'm really glad I did it. I think it was a really informative experience, and I'm very excited for the show.
Cool. Right on. All right, next.
My name is Joe Loff. I have no experience with theater. This is kind of the first time ever, and super happy and grateful to be here and excited. I'm playing Ollie, Jill's husband. And just been having a really good time with everybody, getting to know everybody, and yeah.
Right on, first time, excellent. And now the person who everybody's been talking about.
Yeah, that's me. I'm Carol, I'm the director for this production of Radiant Vermin. I found the piece because two of my friends had done productions pretty much almost concurrently, one in Portland, Oregon, the other one in L.A. And I went to grad school with them, so I figured I should read this play. And so I ordered it and went, I think we need to do this play. And I'm really fond of dark satire, so this fills the bill.
And one of the reasons that we need to do this play is kind of summed up by our final guest. How about you introduce yourself?
And yeah, for sure. Well, my name is Maddie. I am the community engagement coordinator over at Pathways for Youth, which is a resource center here in St. Cloud, who serves youth who are currently experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness between the ages of 16 to 24. So I got involved with this production from Carol, as everybody's been saying, basically throughout all of our introductions. And once she told me about Radiant Vermin, I did a lot of research about it, connected it back to what we do at Pathways, and it truly is a story that needs to be told. A lot of our youth, when you think of homelessness, you think of different stigmas or stereotypes, and that's truly not what it is. And this production really educates not only the people involved, but the people they're telling that story to. And it's a very important piece to hear, and I'm really excited to see it come to life this week.
Nice. Now, Carol, why don't you take us through the play and kind of what it does? Because this is doing something that really only theater can do, and this is why theater is important, is it's able to convey this message in this way. So tell us a little bit about this dark satire, if you will.
It's fable-like in that it's telling you a story that's heightened, that's sort of culled from the greater, I don't know what to call it, vat of stories. And it deals with inequity, it deals with unaffordable housing, and of course homelessness. Through a couple that hopefully anybody can identify with, but I hope our students who are coming to see the production identify with. And it has a sense of magical realism brought to life by Miss D, who offers them, as like a real estate agent, a free house. They just have to fix it up. And through an accident, when they first inhabit the house, Ollie kills a man who is a homeless person, and he disappears and the kitchen of their dreams appears. Now, that isn't going to actually happen on stage. It happens in your imagination, and that's the strength of theater.
So basically, renovation through human sacrifice is kind of what we're getting at in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And I think it ties into, metaphorically, the sacrifice that so many homeless people go through is what makes possible someone else's life. It makes possible not only just the downward social comparison that most people have towards the homeless, but when it comes down to it, we've lost their skills, we've lost their their uniqueness, their power, when we relegate them to being disposable. And I think most people tend to do that. Even if you do what Jill's character says, you know, it's like, I always give them money. I always, sort of show up for them. Yeah, but at the same time, there's levels of resentment. Jill has a great monologue in the piece where you see that she shifts from being, and another line from the play that resonates is that they are good people, Jill and Ollie. They are. However, they're sorely tempted by this ability to gain these things that they've wanted.
Yeah, and how does that temptation play itself out? What kind of happens? How does this escalate?
Somebody else talk.
I would say that Miss D she brings the temptation. She puts it on the table, and she makes it seem like she has this way of making it seem like it's Jill and Ollie's idea, and she's just making it possible. So she really plays the part of, I would say she plays the part of the serpent in, like, if you relate it to the Bible, she plays the part of the serpent tempting them toward the forbidden fruit, and it's their idea once they pick the fruit and once they take the steps into getting into the home.
Once they make the choice, they keep making the choice.
They keep making the choice because the temptation is just, it's too strong, and now they know, the fruit of knowledge. Now they know what they can have, and how easy it is to make that choice to have it. Really, it is relatable. At first, you do relate to Jill and Ollie. It's the journey through the human psyche to see, like, how would I be tempted? And what would I do in this situation? And it's really interesting to watch.
Yeah, because eventually they are in need of a nursery. Mm-hmm. And this, when I was talking to Carol about this a little earlier, this brings up a very interesting character that, spoiler alert, I guess, this is another homeless individual who is killed, but this is a little different. Could somebody talk about that?
I think I can talk about how it's a little bit different. Jill really is the one who rationalizes it the most. where Ollie is like, that was an accident. I never want that to happen again. And Jill gets absolutely carried away. She is pregnant. She wants all these nice things. You know, she doesn't want to work for it. And, you know, it's just, it's there. And she's rationalized it. You know, Ollie, just, you know, the ones who deserve it, they can be the ones who get sacrificed. You know, it's fine. It's not like they're going to contribute anything. It's not,
and we're not losing anything.
Right. So she really does, she is kind of the catalyst for that to happen. So actually, Jill and Ollie had made multiple attempts at the nursery. This was not the first time at all. But Jill is going through catalogs. That's like her passion. And she found the perfect nursery that she wanted. And so Ollie went out and got what they call renovators. So the homeless person that they are, I'm going to kill. And it happens to be Kay. And originally Jill said, you know, I don't want to see anything. I want to know nothing about them. It has to be all you. Right. Mm-hmm. It'll upset the baby. We can't have that. And she runs into Kay as Ollie gets distracted in the middle of renovating, quote unquote. And Jill really starts to see the humanity in these people. But what's really interesting is specifically in the script, it says that the person who plays Misty has to also play Kay. And the way that I've really seen this is it's a continuation of this temptation and rationalizing it, because Kay, it almost sounds silly, but she's almost thrilled to be the sacrifice. She's honored. You know, if I can be any room, I'll be the nursery, and, you know, helps through knowing this person, seeing humanity in them, that still, it's completely okay. But if it had been anyone else, I don't know if it would be the same. So I just think that it's a really interesting aspect of the show that the playwright used to continue this metaphor, and I think is a really unique aspect of the show.
I also think that Kay is an important character, being that she will show that, like, she shows the humanity to Jill, but she's also going to show that humanity of the homeless person and how it can happen to the audience. So they're going to be, like, rationalizing all of these actions in their heads, and then they're going to meet Kay. And she's going to be this young, like, beautiful soul, really. And she has her story, and she has why she feels like, almost like she deserves to be homeless, and she deserves to be this sacrifice. And so the people are going to rationalize it in their head, and then all of a sudden be faced with the real humanity of these people that are being sacrificed.
So why don't we shift just a little bit to, like, well, the setting of the play and everything. So this is Radiant Vermin. It opens this Wednesday, October 16th. And
7:30 p.m.
So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And Sunday at 2.
Sunday matinee at 2. Was running this weekend.
In the Arena Stage, the Performing Arts Center.
Gotcha. Arena Stage, Performing Arts Center. So let's talk with some of the stage managers here real quick. What kind of challenges or anything did you face putting together or helping to put together the stage?
I wouldn't say, like, necessarily like a challenge, but it's, at first it was kind of hard to figure out, like, where all the rooms are, because most of the set that we have is just like this house shape that looks kind of like a door in a way, but we call it the portal. And then like a ramped up stage, and that's pretty much it. So the only thing that was like hard right away was like blocking and everything, is figuring out like, okay, this is the kitchen, this over here is the nursery, this over here is the stairs, you know, trying to figure out where everything is on the stage. Because like Carol said, most of the, you know, set is to your imagination. You don't actually see the buildings changing and everything, but.
And even beyond the challenges of trying to figure out like where the rooms are, it also became a challenge of trying to get the audience to see what the actors are seeing. And, you know, that includes, like, getting the actors to see those things, too. So it was a really interesting process to kind of figure out, how are we going to mime this in a way that the audience is going to understand what it is? How are we going to get the audience to see exactly what we want them to see without putting it there in front of them? And I think we've done that really
well.
You
just held a magic wand in your hand.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You know, it's about getting the idea of, like, being able to see props that aren't there, mm-hmm. see rooms that aren't there, see these glimmering countertops that aren't there. Which is a really cool process I think we did really well on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that I always say that I love about theater is that it's magic. It really is, because it's taking all these different aspects, putting them all together, and then making this show that you know, sometimes have to put together in your own head and use your own imagination, but it's just crazy to see, like, a whole world kind of come together on a stage.
Oh, yeah, it brings the imagination into the process. Mm-hmm. So you're not just being shown the whole thing.
You gotta, you're not just an audience, you're a member of it.
You got to work at it a little bit. Nice. Well, sometimes, you know, that helps in bringing more complex concepts to, you know, fruition there. Mm-hmm. So definitely. Speaking of complex concepts, this all revolves around homelessness and, you know, the potential, honestly, for anyone to become homeless within, you know, there's certain factors that could kick in anybody's life. As most of you are college students, you might not have realized this yet, but as, you know, you get older, you get jobs, most people are like two paychecks away from homelessness. And
or less.
So, you know, and this is definitely a thing, and that's, you know, that affects people of all ages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which brings us to Pathways. You know, one of the, you know, community, are you all a community partner with this event, or are you just kind of involved with it, or what is Pathways for Youth involvement within Radiant Vermin?
Yeah, so when we were first approached by Carol with this production, we're very interested because this has not been on, a production like this has not been on our radar before. We've been open since May of 2018, so about a year and a half now. Don't look at my math. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to do is get involved in the community. And when we work with youth, we want them to be able to spread our message and spread that we are a resource for them to feel comfortable coming to. When you are homeless and you are between the ages that we serve, which is 16 and 24, it's really easy to go into that fight or flight or survival mode. So you trust your car more than you would trust another person because you're living there. That's where your bed is. That's where your kitchen is. That's, you know, and we have youth who come in, and when they see a toothbrush, they're really excited because they don't have to use their finger anymore. And it's this message that this production is trying to show is that these are people too. And yes, it's great that, I mean, you could talk to anybody who works with Pathways, Catholic Charities, whoever. Everybody that you see out with cardboard signs are actually homeless in our community. They're not faking it. They're not out there just trying to scam anybody. They're real people. And yes, giving them a couple dollars here and there does make you a great person in that time. But what can we do about it to make them feel like people again? How can we get out there in our community and really take charge and take action? Pathways for Youth put on an event yesterday called Now That You Know. And our main objective with that event was to educate our community members as to what homelessness and what homeless youth need in our community. And that's people to care and for people to be there and listen and have that open heart. So this production, when we heard about it from Carol, we were very excited to learn more about how we can show this to a different demographic and to a different population, especially here at St. Cloud State. And also just keep going with our mission, which is to educate and support the youth that we serve and help them become contributing members to our society. They are our future. And without being there for them, what does our future look like?
Yeah, I think that continues the message of the play itself. Well, it is a complex topic, and, you know, that's something that theater is able to address. So how do we chat about that for just a little bit? You know, how does theater, what is theater doing that, I don't know, is better than just a lecture?
I think that theater has, referring back to Kay as a character, as she, well, in one of her monologues, she says that she ran away from home when she was 15. So that really gets your mind working on, she was homeless at the age of 15. And everybody knows a 15-year-old or has known a 15-year-old has been 15. And that's really, really young to be on your own, on the street, nowhere to go, nothing to eat. And so, and then as she's leaving the stage, going to make the perfect nursery for Jill, she says, "Tell baby Benjamin about me. Tell him that you once met someone who wasn't as scary as they looked." That really shows, like, that is the way that theater works. Because now Kay is looking in the faces of the audience, and they have someone homeless telling them, "Tell your baby that I'm not as scary as I look." And that's the magic of theater, because the audience can hear something that otherwise they wouldn't have listened to, they wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to hear it, and they wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to see what homelessness can do to the youth.
And I think this also kind of building off of that too with our Pathways Knowledge You Know event, it's different than hearing the statistics and just being forced to listen about it, but it's another thing to look at it right in the eyes and almost be forced to realize that it's a real thing. On Division Street yesterday, we had over 110 youth mannequins out in orange hoodies to show that on any given night in St. Cloud, there's over 100 youth homeless. And unless, I mean, if I just say that number at somebody, it's not going to really hit them. But if they're looking at it, they're going to realize how big of a problem or an issue it is for our youth. And especially with the weather, it really hits home. So it's with theater, it makes you become a part of it. And I really love the talk about how it's bringing in the audience's imagination and how they want to see it and bringing them into it to be a part of this performance or this production. And with Pathways as well, our mission is to do the same. And so if we keep building these different opportunities for our community and our students and faculty and staff, whoever attends this production or learns more about Pathways, to truly see it and be a part of it, I think that's what's going to make the most difference.
Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to articulate this. I mean, years to think about it. But theater is one of the last best places that makes community. Whether you're sitting in a room with a whole group of other people, whether you're talking about this show that you went to see with other people, and it goes back to our roots as human beings, as storytellers. And when we, there's nothing more powerful than a story when it comes down to it in terms of maybe experiences.
But that's still a story. That's just your direct story.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then how do you share this experience? What does this experience mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, and that comes back to empathy. You know, somebody is experiencing something. Well, what is that that they experienced? And sometimes, especially with something that's foreign, maybe to most people, like we'll just use homelessness for right now because that's the topic. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody has been, although it could happen to anybody. And it does happen to people. It is there. And, well, how do you put somebody in those shoes for just a little bit?
And I want to come back and kind of battle that statement, in somebody's shoes. It's truly impossible to take off your own experiences, or for the metaphor, your own pair of shoes, and put on somebody else's and truly understand where they're coming from. But with this production and with the many different resources within St. Cloud, what we're all trying to do is, with our volunteers and our professionals and these productions, we're just trying to have you take off your shoes and try them on and be a part of the experience or the message or the educational portion of these different topics, and be willing to learn and be willing to listen and be willing to walk into this with an open heart and take something from it. No, like you said, nobody's ever going to be able to fully understand where they're coming from. But you are able to take off your shoes for a little bit, try on somebody else's, and understand where they've walked with those shoes.
I think that's also one of the strengths of Philip Ridley, the playwright, in that in many ways the production compares a lot to sort of that kind of middle, late 50s bunch of absurdist writers. Ionesco is a good example. And he would come at you and he would hit you over the head many times with a metaphor hammer. And as an audience member, it's like, okay, I got it, okay. and Ridley is good because he comes at you, but he lets the audience take it in as opposed to here's the message, mm-hmm. and let you process so that not only are you sympathetic to Kay, but there's also some sympathy for Jill and Ollie, but then also some feelings of being rather appalled and aghast. It's like, because their question is, would you do this?
Yeah. Would you do this? Yeah.
If I can add a little bit on to that, Joe and I have worked really, really hard on making Ollie and Jill a likable couple. I mean, Misty will point out certain things, you know, about how, you know, Jill and Ollie didn't necessarily come from the best of places. They're not living in the best of places right now. But they've tried their best to be good people. They're really likable. You relate to them and you see, you know, oh, this could be anyone I know. This could be myself. And then the killings start. And then it's like, well, if I'm like this, you know, where are my prejudices? Could I really go this far? Could I dehumanize someone like that? And I think that's what the power of theater is because you don't always walk away with answers, but you walk away with some really important questions mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in your life that help you re-examine something that you wouldn't examine from a lecture, you know. Lectures are important, statistics are important to look at, but like you said, until you see it, until you feel it in your heart, you've only gone so far.
Yeah, and I think that is what theater does because you've got this thing right in front of you. This is an obvious choice. This is, you know, if you do this, if you kill this person, then you will get a room. Whereas in our regular lives, we've got more subtle questions, but they might still have the same answers. If you choose this behavior, there's going to be a consequence for someone else that could potentially be life-threatening. Or maybe not you directly, but it's not too far removed. And does that matter to you? And that's where it gets, I think, tricky.
Yeah, and we're trying also to change the narrative about the stigmas and stereotypes about homelessness. One of the main things that a lot of people think of is you see, we were talking about this, Carol and I were talking about this earlier, like the cut gloves or the spare change jars and sleeping in a box. And that's not at all what it is. And all of us are trying to work together to change that narrative so that way people are getting rid or trying to notice and critically think about those stigmas and stereotypes that they're coming into it with about homelessness and especially homeless youth. The three main areas where you stay are in cars, couch hopping, as I said earlier, or in encampments with groups. And you don't really see them out and about, but they're there. And like I said earlier, there's over 100 of them a night. And it takes somebody to realize that this is a true reality that a lot of people are living in. And to combat what you think it is and be able to assist them without those stigmas and stereotypes that you'd be coming into the situation with.
Yeah, right. We hope that people walk away from this and examine their and question their own privilege, I think. Because you have time, you have money, you have like the resources, like Pathways for Youth, to do something about it. And you have all of this privilege that you take for granted. So really go out there and make a difference for someone.
Yeah, use the privilege. Mm-hmm. Make a difference. Excellent. Well, thank you all for stopping in and chatting today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota here on 88.1 FM KVSC. And today I've been sitting down with the cast and crew from Radiant Vermin, as well as SDSU theater professor and director Carol Cooley and Maddie Zinkin, community engagement coordinator from Pathways for Youth. Radiant Vermin will be on the arena stage at the Performing Arts Center at St. Cloud State University beginning Wednesday, October 16th, and running through Sunday, October 20th. For links to more information on that, you can find it on our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab or under the Podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the link to this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack reminding you that the importance of the arts is how it gets you to break out of your own perspective and maybe see things how they really are. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities.